It's an election year. Just send the nuke and finish this off already. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Kelsey Grammer, welcome to the program. Voted for Donald Trump. Yes. And I just wonder whether you sort of took any hits in Hollywood for that. Did you feel that you were sort of
marginalized? I'm unaware of taking a hit for it. Now, certainly there's, passions run high. And certainly he has, been a touchstone for an extraordinarily passionate response. I don't know if it's as serious or horrible as everybody wants it to be.
I was wondering whether you thought that the sort of, many people believe the sort of fabric is being disrupted and,
Well, I
people
think the
push,
fabric being disrupted is a good thing.
You do?
Oh, yeah. I do not think Washington was doing any favors. For the last 50, 60 years, I think they've all been sort of just the same party, the same bunch of clowns, the same bunch of
That's
really
politics.
Unpleasant people. That's and I don't think they've been helping anybody but themselves.
That was Kelsey Grammer. One of the only conservatives in Hollywood that speaks out. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. How are you today? Hi, Uncle Milty.
Hello, hello.
How's it going?
Wonderbar.
How's it going? you'll have to let us know whether you watched the debate last night. I was listening to the highlight reel. Sorry, highlight reel. What? You watched it?
Yes, I did.
You endured it. You should get a gold medal.
It didn't take a lot of endurance. It was actually quite funny.
Was it?
Yeah, well, there were a lot of laughs in it.
Okay.
Watching them, attack each other and make fun of each other. And
Go after each other?
Yeah, no, they all did. They all really, something we expected actually sooner than it has happened, but they actually all did go after each other pretty good.
Hmm.
And I liked watching that, pointing out their hypocrisy.
Well, there's so much of it. Does that ever end?
And when you see hypocrites pointing out the hypocrisy of others, it can be hilarious.
We can either go over the highlights in this hour or next, but there's so much to say about that. Just because after listening to some of the highlights, I can't even imagine what listening to the whole thing was, but I just can't anymore. I can't do it anymore. I can't do it with the Democrats. I just tune out. If I had to listen to Bernie Sanders yell at me, he's the bully in the room. No matter what room he's in, for what reason, he's a bully in that room. And that persona, not to mention that he's a communist, but the persona alone is, and Elizabeth Warren always looks like she's had two energy drinks and she just doesn't quite know what to say. And you've got Petey Boy, who's Mr. Relaxed CIA up on stage going Navy intelligence. I'm sorry. Going, trying to be the calm, cool, collected one that espouses family values. Family values? It's a gay marriage. I don't even know what to say.
What I really noticed about Elizabeth Warren last night, because she's the only one that's doing it.
Right.
She always has some anecdotal story about somebody she met today. I just met a guy today with diabetes, and him and his whole family have diabetes, and none of them can pay for their insulin.
Right. It just so happens.
Yeah.
She's just out and about.
Yeah.
That picture of her or the video of her going into the diner where nobody wanted to talk to her. She went around to each table and people wouldn't even turn around. They wouldn't even turn around. They looked to see who it was and they went back to their food. Their diner food. The old greasy hamburger was more engaging than Elizabeth Warren. And maybe that's what she does all day. She goes to diners. I don't know.
Yeah, she does something because she always has the anecdotal story that ties right in with what the subject is.
Wow. Oh, man. What a coincidence.
Hillary used to do that a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Hillary did, didn't she? When she wasn't green screening people there. And anyway, the whole lot of them is pretty interesting to watch who they try to bump up in the polls. Because I'm sorry, was there a winner? If you could call a winner, was there a winner last night in their debate?
No.
Did anyone look like they came out unscathed from their own hypocrisy?
Not a one of them.
No, and there was Bloomberg, who I think was suffering from a black eye with a lot of makeup on, by the way.
Bloomberg
a lot of makeup.
Proved beyond any shadow of a doubt that his money's not going to be enough to buy him the presidency.
Yeah, yeah.
He really proved that.
Yeah. Well, he definitely had something going on with his eye. I don't know if he's part of the Black Eye Club, but he definitely had something going on.
There was. So. My wife even noticed that.
Yeah, he had a lot of makeup on. It was bizarre to watch them haggle over who was the bigger socialist. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi, Kate.
Hi,
Milty.
Hello.
I just heard, literally 3 minutes before your show came on, heard a quote from the little man from today, or I think it was today in Salt Lake, perhaps last night in Salt Lake, where he said the only winner of the debate was Donald Trump. I have to agree.
Yeah, yeah. He
and they all,
yeah, that's true.
They all make themselves out to be the ass clowns that they are. There's nothing they can do about that.
Yeah, I agree with you. Thank you. Really appreciate it. Yeah. In fact, you know what's really funny is they're all about winning. And I was thinking about this. We'll probably talk more about it in the last hour. But I was thinking about this. They don't really have a thing. Like they're not. There's like a message. There's no message. It's just, I'm a bigger socialist. There's no message.
Well, no, there is one message.
What's the message?
That they're all adamant about.
What?
I can beat Donald Trump.
that's the race, though. It's like
that's it.
Yeah. It's, well, maybe we'll talk. See, I keep wanting to talk about
it. Well, it's hard not to.
But I'll go over some of their statements in the last hour because it was so funny. And I'll point out some things that were glaringly obvious. I know you probably saw them too, but oh my gosh, I'll play the highlight reel for you too. Couple things going on, locally, actually. Let's see. There's always stuff going on locally. There's an awful lot of articles on what's coming because of tourism and whatnot. And I don't know if you've all noticed the uptick in the last 5 years, but it's been there. And everything's been going on in the name. So you'll see a lot of articles today, Washington City, St. George, all the different areas. Growing, 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 growing. We're growing so fast. I keep hearing that from everybody. Oh my gosh, we're growing so fast. You know, our population, I mean, it's not gangbusters. I don't know. I don't understand what. Anyway, it just seems to sell a lot, and then it keeps people from asking about budgets, and it keeps people from asking about what's actually going on, and I find that pretty bothersome, if you ask me. But everything's projected with oodles of growth, and you're paying for it. Make no mistake, you're definitely paying for it. So you'll see that. Also, they're saying BYU relaxed its attitude toward LGBTQ lifestyle. You know, that's not actually true. They're saying that in articles, and there was a Spectrum article that was really, well, let's just say you could tell that the writer from the AP, from where they took this from, really does not like BYU. But he basically kept citing the fact that they didn't return his phone call very quickly, and that they're not, like, they're almost like they're trying to hide their stance. What they basically did was they took out the paragraph on homosexuality, and they just basically went with, you know, intimacy. For anyone, you know, going on, which is always their normal stance, by the way, anything going on, there are repercussions for that because they're a private school. Okay. And they can decide those types of values at their school. And so basically they were just kind of catering it to everybody, which is fine with me. That's fine with me. I don't really care whether they spell out homosexuality or not. The church hasn't changed its stance, but boy, articles were sure trying to say that now they did allude to the fact that, oh, nothing was really changed, but this was interesting, you know, that kind of thing. So I thought that was kind of bizarre.
I don't like it anytime anyone panders.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason,
I don't know if this was pandering.
Well, it sounded like it to me. I read the article, and it sounded to me like they were.
I think the author maybe wanted it to sound like they were pandering a little bit.
Maybe it was the author.
Because when I read it, I was like, oh, well, that's not that big of a deal. I mean, they're just basically, and they could be. I'll give you that. They could be. I don't know. But to me, it seemed like they were just kind of going with, look, this is for everybody. I don't care. No matter what sex it is, no matter what's going on, this is for everybody. So.
Well, the only way to really know, I think if it was pandering, you'd have to really look at their admissions and see what's going on with their admissions.
Maybe. They have a lot more liberal professors now, and they've taken some terms that have surprised me. Oh, yeah. And I've talked about that on the show. But it was, you know, it's kind of interesting that the church came out with a new handbook. It talked about transgenders, and it talked about some of the things that they would not be allowed to do within the church. And it was interesting because people think, I think on some level, that transgenders are clamoring to be in organized religion, and that's just not true. They get out of organized religion. They don't want to be near organized religion. So whenever we're discussing something, a small change that happens, we're usually talking about like 50 people that this is going to actually affect.
Nationwide.
Yes, and there were people on Twitter going, I weep for transgenders everywhere. Why? They don't all want to be part of organized religion. They all don't want to be part of these things.
They hate religion.
Well, they usually get out of it. I actually have a transgender friend who's LDS on Facebook with me. And of course the article was, what, can't you give the person a hug and love them like Christ did? Nobody's saying don't love them. Nobody's saying, you know, hey, you know, you're come on in, the door is open. Everybody's saying that. The problem is that there are a couple of things that they have to draw the line, just like with homosexuality. And I would expect them to.
Yeah.
That's what I want. I want that consistency of values and morals. Sorry. And so when it affects like 50 people worldwide, I mean, and even if that, maybe 20, come on. To me, we blow these problems out of proportion and act like they're happening to everybody, like everybody wants a certain thing that's being taken from them. And I think it's a joke.
Well, that's where they get their power from.
Yeah.
By making it seem that way.
I know.
Oh, so many people.
We've taken something away. No, we haven't. Oh, my gosh. No, I want consistency of values and morals. And I'm glad to see the consistency hold up. And I think for both of the churches we belong to, both of the religions that we belong to, Uncle Milty, I think we both expect that. And we want that. And I think that all Christians everywhere should want the consistency of values. And you hope that never changes is all I can say. And I'm grateful to see that. I don't care what the world thinks. Who cares? Who cares if 20 people aren't going to be particularly happy?
Yeah.
Who cares? Anyway, they're welcome to come in anyway. Yeah. Be right back. We love everybody. Be right back on The Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is The Kate Daly Show.
I surprise you to know that Cornell came out with a study. We were just talking about transgender for just a moment, because there's other topics I want to get to. Cornell came out with this study that was surprising, and the study was basically this. We found a consensus in the peer-reviewed literature of gender transition that says that this does improve the overall well-being of transgender individuals, and that only 7%, had mixed feelings. The only problem with this study, as it goes on, because it goes on to say basically like, no problem here, everything's great. They don't say exactly when they polled the transgender community on this, like how soon after a surgery. I mean, I can actually go and interview honeymooners about marriage, and I'm going to hear some pretty wonderful stories.
Absolutely.
If I go to those being married, you know, maybe 20, 30 years, the stories are much different. And I'm laughing because that was not included in this study was, did they go back a couple of years later? Do you remember Caitlyn? Wasn't that what she goes by?
Caitlyn Jenner?
Yeah. transgender. When she first got it, everything was great. And now we've seen kind of this backslide, and that usually does happen a few years in, like Walter Heyer, who we interviewed,
yep.
Who's a very famous interview for that. But I just thought it was interesting that they never ever shared that with the study on the time frame in which they asked the individuals.
Actually, the statistics are that over almost 60% of transgender people are unhappy they did it.
Right, right. Yeah. And now we've got a lot of kids that are probably going to be trying it just because they're curious.
Pushed into it.
Yeah, and pushed by parents for sure.
But I did want to say one thing.
Sure.
That song that you played,
uh-huh.
The Purpose of a Man.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been a lot longer song if they wrote it today with all the different genders.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, at least 5-6 minutes. Well, by the way, Congressman Stewart was not named intelligence chief. It was Grinnell. Richard Grinnell, I think, was his name.
Well, there's a surprise.
Yeah. So just that was kind of in the news, too. Michelle Bolter put out, she has a town hall tonight, and she put out something that she said wasn't on her radar. The committee's vote was really concerning to her on this. This was a bill, HB 0261, and it basically is talking about what right does our government have to take any property from their people. Eminent domain shouldn't even exist. Government is in place to protect the individual from the whims of the majority. Utah law currently sides with more eminent domain, and Representative Lyman's bill would have done more to protect the individual and their property. Phil Lyman's bill. And she was shocked as she was listening to some of the clarifying questions. And of course, I put that and posted that on the Kate Daly Show page on Facebook. Anyway, interesting. So we've got a lot of bills that are concerning and insane. We talked yesterday about the mental health bill. They want the school board to pass a mental health test for every kid in public school every year.
Yeah.
Does that sound cozy?
I think every child in public school, if their parents allow them in the public school, they should be tested for
some
problem.
They should be
problem.
Testing the parents. Yeah. Well, maybe.
A psychological profile is necessary during the indoctrination process.
So you can get the start to finish effect. For Cornell. It's scary. It's scary. And you know what's funny is I went home, I was talking to my husband about that bill. He said, a Republican passed that? Or is trying to pass it, I'm sorry. Introduce that? Yeah. Yeah. And he was just shaking his head again. I think sometimes we just don't understand.
It's hard to realize that Republicans are not what they appear to say they are.
Right.
You know, the government does do some good things for us, though.
Yeah.
There's the bill HB 202.
Uh-huh.
And the state of Utah has now tried to limit the practice of cities and counties from charging people criminally for code violations.
What?
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
So if they come by and, write you a ticket because you got that car up on Jackson,
right,
your driveway.
Right.
Yeah. They can't make that a criminal penalty anymore.
Oh, my gosh. I swear.
They're so good to us.
They literally sit in a room just trying to decide how to take freedom and how to build their career. I'm not joking. It's bizarre. Kim Coleman posted this, too. I interviewed her for governor. She actually is really fairly good. Kim, she used to mock conspiracy theorists. And there was a time years ago, like maybe 2-3 years ago, where I wasn't her biggest fan, and I thought, why don't you start listening to a few people? And then, of course, when I interviewed her, I actually was pleasantly surprised at some of her answers. She was getting some answers right on the money. I was really surprised. She actually was, with the whole lot of people running for governor, I actually thought she did pretty well. So she was talking about that eminent domain bill, and she said it wins the UN freaking unbelievable award of the day because they weren't backing this. Our own legislators who are supposed to be conservatives are not backing the rights of the individual. That's concerning. That's really, really concerning. It should be anyway. And so might want to ask why that happened, because we have the majority here, and this was done by GOP. So this was done by our Republicans, and the bill was, and why it was not sponsored, why it was not out of committee. Anyway, I just wanted to bring that up. There's a lot of bills that we could talk about each day. The problem is I hate doing it. I really do, because it makes me so frustrated and I get angry because I keep seeing all these hits on our freedom, and there's over 1,000 every session. And I feel like we all have to put a shield up, and all these arrows are coming at us, and we all have to try and figure out where the next arrow is coming from so that we can defend our liberty against our own. It's kind of like having your own family attack you. You know, it's like that same mentality. You're thinking, my gosh, how is this possible in this kind of state? Yeah. We're not in California.
Well, you know, a lot of people think that you have to do a ton of research to know if a bill's good or bad.
Right.
And the reality is, we know that if it's a bill, it's bad. It doesn't take a lot of research to know that.
Yeah, yeah. You'll only find in a handful of repeals in all over 1,000 bills, you'll find a handful of repeals that are usually pretty good because they're taking away the bad law from the last session.
Right.
And maybe some like this that are trying to curb something, you know, curb government overreach.
Rare, though.
It's rare. And we need to encourage the ones that you elected that promised you some things to actually stand by their word and do what's right. It's sickening. So less than 2 weeks before Medical Cannabis Act implementation, and of course, proposing amendments. That would be Vickers, of course.
Evan Vickers.
Yes, yeah. The pharmacist.
The chief sponsor of the bill.
And pharmacist. I think that's a conflict, isn't it?
Would that be a pharmacist? A pharmacist legislator on drugs?
I'm going to go with conflict. It's interesting. Anyway, so 40 amendments makes changes to things such as dosing, packaging, internal possession, and then talked about committee hearing Tuesday. We're on Thursday right now. Tuesday. I was going to say yesterday that the bill arose out of information gathered from various agencies and organizations. It's still a moving target. There's a few things we're trying to refine. Yeah, like 40 amendments worth. I mean, it's always interesting how many amendments come forth. You know what I mean?
Well, especially since the bill hasn't gone into effect yet. It goes into effect in 2 weeks. Yeah. And you thought they might have looked at some of these things before they passed it. Course, they didn't. But what really surprised me is that they don't seem to understand that it would be better to let the bill go into effect, watch it for 6 months, and see if any of these 40 amendments are really necessary.
Right.
No, that would be too intelligent. Let's pass the amendments now so we can pass more amendments later when they don't work out.
Yeah, because it's easier to get the amendments on top of a bill that's already done. That's just always how they work. But so he thinks he's making this bill better. And I know that there are some people supporting this. Under Utah law, a medical provider cannot prescribe medical marijuana, but rather provide a recommendation in the form of an affirmative defense letter that a patient can show law enforcement if stopped with the products. And then there's all kinds of opinions, of course, on how physicians feel about recommending it to patients. You're not going to find a lot of doctors that will. But I'm all for it. If it's something that can help you, I know people that benefit from it. So I absolutely am in favor of you choosing this option for yourself and asking for it. 100%.
So their medical provider can give them a recommendation in the form of an affirmative defense letter. Can they do the same thing for alcohol?
I don't know.
So if you get stopped and you're drunk driving, you show them the affirmative defense. My doctor said I need a drink.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it isn't without its issues. And I've talked about that on the show, too. You know, I've done both sides of the issue where I've had a person that runs the biggest addict places in America weigh in. Daryl Anaba weighed in. And then we've had people that were completely pro whatever, you know. And yeah, I have... There's some issues with it because I think it's different than we realize, and there's a lot of things that can be done to it. I still want to be able to choose as an individual if this is something that could work for me. I would want to choose it. And I think that at the base of this, we need to remember that freedom and liberty are still the number one thing that the government is supposed to protect. And even with a lot of its issues and problems, do I want to turn into a California? No. And we're not even on our way to turning into a California by any means. But I do think people don't realize that getting behind a wheel could be pretty dangerous if you're going to do this. There's a lot of things that people probably haven't caught on to. And then, of course, I do think people are smart enough to figure it out, too. But
boy, oh boy, what happened to you?
Yeah.
I can't imagine thinking people are that smart.
Yeah, I know. So it's funny how the government always feels like it has to baby us and to act like we don't have a brain in our head. I do think people will figure it out. I do think people will work things out. But, you know, I don't know. How do you feel about it?
There's just so many weird things in these amendments. One that I really don't understand... The original bill limited the number of patients a general practitioner could have in mm-hmm. regards to this medical marijuana to 175, mm-hmm. and for a specialist, 300. They want to raise it to 275 and 600. Now, I don't know a lot of doctors that are really screaming for more patients unless they make money on it real easy.
Interesting. Okay, we'll be right back. Kate Daly Show, you can weigh in too. 888-673-1450.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Whether we like it or not, best I can tell, the world's gone to hell. We're sure gonna miss it a lot. All of the whiskey in Lynchburg, Tennessee, just couldn't hit the spot. I got a $100 bill, friend, you keep your pills. Call this all the weather pot.
Hi there, welcome back. Come on. You knew I was going to play it. Welcome back. I've got Uncle Milty in studio. And yeah, I want to be clear, you know, when the bill passed, when it finally passed... they had done so much to the bill, the medical cannabis bill in our state, that it was almost as like you couldn't hardly use it because it was so restrictive. It was so penalizing. It was so difficult to even try or get. And a lot of people shied away from even doing it. So the amendments, people are applauding the amendment bill. There's a lot of groups like Libertas that are applauding it because of the amendments, because of the things that it's loosening up. But it's just funny to me how much control there remains. And I, for me, my first question is, well, who's making the money? Who's making the cash on this? Because there always seems to be mechanisms put in for people to make the profit that they want to make, the government, what have you. And of course, keep it as controlled as they can. It's medical cannabis, which a lot of states have passed it. They've kept it to that. They have not gone to recreational, which is medical cannabis. And usually the same percentage, use it maybe even under 1%. For a state is pretty normal. It doesn't go beyond that, even after being in place for years, because it's still difficult to get. It's still really hard, and there's cost involved for the people. People don't they want, you know, to go to the doctor and so forth. It's a lot.
What's hard to get?
No, I mean to get into the doctor to pay for it. A lot of people won't even go in when they're sick, let alone pay to go in to get a prescription or to get the doctor to say to you know, give them this letter or what have you, to try it and so forth. There's just a lot of restrictions on it too. So it's frustrating because you either going to have it or you're not, but the state likes to likes to have as much control as possible too. And I think the only reason they like to is when they have a stake in the money or the control. I don't know that it's actually for the reasons they say.
I think anybody that wants to use marijuana for whatever reason has no trouble at all getting it now.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right about that. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. You mean not having to go through all these different
chains. Yeah, you don't have to go through all that. You just have to know somebody who knows
somebody. Named Vinny. and it's not super hard. But you know, we were just talking about this on the break, though. You know, I don't actually see us becoming a whole world of pot smokers. I really don't. It's just not something that people are going to go usually do. People that are working and they're out there and they're not just going to sit around getting high all the time. But the people with cancer and the people that really truly need that as a remedy, I can agree with somebody needing that if that's what it takes.
It's just like anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of people drink. They're not all alcoholics.
Right, right.
Lots of people use opiates for pain. Mm-hmm. They don't all become addicts.
Yeah.
This is no different.
Yeah.
Some people are going to use it medicinally, and then some people are going to get high all the time.
Right.
That number is a small number of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
We over try to manage everything with government interference, and it just doesn't work.
I know. I mean, how do you come up with a line of 175 patients versus 275 patients? I mean, why that number? Why that number? Why that change?
Because when I bent over and pulled, that's what came out.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, it's the truth. They just...
I probably wouldn't have said it like that, but all right. Okay. Well, yeah, that is the truth. Well, I mean, you really are pulling a number out of your rear end. I don't even know how to quantify that. How many patients can you have?
You can't.
Yeah. Even with opiates, I mean, really and truly, how many doctors truly were having thousands of patients come in for opiates? There was a few, and one went to prison in the last couple of years. They did get caught
and go to prison.
But I mean, that's it's just not every doctor. Most doctors are pretty sensible people. They're not going to be, you know, taking on a bunch of patients, and just for that reason, I don't see that happening to like that.
No, and I always thought that guys who really wanted to be drug dealers went to medical school.
There you go. I don't know if your view has changed on this issue, and it may have. Maybe as the hype wore down, I remember listening to people that were just scaring the snot out of people on this. And I remember looking at the numbers and thinking, man, these states have had this for so long, these other states, and they do not have the problems that I keep hearing we're going to have immediately. And here it's been a year. It's finally going into effect. And I don't see us having a huge amount of problems with this, because I don't see a huge amount of people even getting their hands on it to do it. But I also think that we as people, for some reason, kind of lack the logical freedom aspect, the liberty aspect. And we have just a real tough time trying to say when we legislate other people's behaviors and when we don't. And that is a tough line. And I know that's a tough line for people, because you want a sort of moral code, and I get that. Values in a country are important. Morals in a country are important. We understand that, right? At the same time, you have to make sure people have their liberty too.
Yeah, it's not just morals though. It's all kinds of issues. Well, for example,
go ahead.
Have you heard about Desert Color?
Desert Color, no. Yeah,
it's a master plan community east of Interstate, just east of Interstate 15.
Okay.
Along the Southern Parkway.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
And it's going to be the first of its kind in Utah to adopt a water-efficient landscape utilizing a new approach to landscape design.
Mm-hmm.
It's being coined as a localscape project.
Okay.
3,400-acre development, when it is fully built, in about 25 years,
25 years?
Yeah, in about 25 years, it has the potential of using 40%.
Are we getting
40%.
Everything here on donkeys? I mean, what in the world? Like, what do you mean 25 years?
25 years from now, when it's finished, the 11,000 potential homes will use 40% less water than the traditional developments. Now,
we can
25
put a house
years
up in 2 months. Are you kidding?
They may find out that they find a whole bunch of water in the next 25 years, and water won't any longer be an issue in southern Utah.
Wait a minute. 25 years is what they're saying?
When it's fully built. When it's fully developed, all 11,000 homes.
I don't understand that.
They have a crystal ball at the City Hall. Didn't you know that?
We see divisions going up rapidly all the time.
Well, this one,
hey, they want affordable housing. It's up in 2 weeks. Are you kidding me?
This one's going to take a little longer.
Well,
but it is going to use 40% less water.
Are they using the railroad? I mean, what, what the hell? Okay. I feel like we just walked back into the late 1800s. What are you talking about?
When did these people start thinking they could predict 25 years into the future what's going to happen or be needed?
I don't know. I really don't know.
You can't even predict you're going to be alive in 25 years, no matter what age you are.
Well, they've got their pulse on it.
Boy, howdy.
For a long, long time, apparently. Apparently, it takes forever to
water-efficient landscaping. That's the new thing in the next 25 years.
Yeah, heaven forbid we just, I don't know, go underground for it. That would just be too easy.
You mean drill a hole?
We can't have the easy answer. We got to have the scare tactic. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Well, good afternoon.
Hi there.
I'd like to talk about marijuana use, drug use, and liberty and moral principles. Mm-hmm. There's this idea out there that liberty is not a moral or ethical principle.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the most important moral ethical principles and religious principles.
Mm-hmm.
Christ, God said, mm-hmm. where I will be, liberty will be where I will be. Or the other way around, rather. He proclaimed liberty throughout the land, he declared. So that's a really important point. You can't separate ethics and morality. But the other is this idea in this amendment, how many patients a doctor can have. So mm-hmm. you're regulating the doctor, the government's regulating the doctor. What is that by definition?
Mm-hmm.
That's socialized medicine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
So,
yeah.
Right. So if you really oppose socialized medicine, you have to oppose it in principle.
Mm-hmm.
And that means you have to oppose something like this. They have absolutely no right to regulate how many patients the doctor has for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So if we're going to be stopping socialism, you have to stop it in principle and denounce it in every form we see it. And this is one of the forms.
Yes. Teach people true principles.
Amen.
Let them govern themselves. And I feel like we just have a hard time doing that for some reason.
Well, because the enemy has trained us not to pay attention to liberty and understand it.
Yeah.
They've worked very hard to teach with the schools, the media, on and on, to teach us not to value liberty.
Right, right.
These debates.
Yeah.
Has anybody talked about who won the debate from a liberty perspective? Never.
I don't know if you can. Can you? I mean, I don't even know if you can equate, though. I don't even think they even said the word once in the entire time.
Well, yes, and even if they said it, they're liars, so you can't trust them.
Right.
But we don't evaluate. Fox News, all the station, no one's saying, well, this person was standing for liberty more than the other, even whether they're lying or not.
That's true.
It's not to be a criterion for determining who to vote for.
Yeah,
we've got to turn that around and make that the most important criteria.
Yeah, that's very true.
In fact,
usually the media is talking about who gave the biggest barb to one another, right? It's the best comeback. It's the best moment that made us laugh. It's the best thing that somebody said.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with what the knowledge, and I say that loosely, because
this point is so important because they've taught us to sell out liberty for every reason in the world.
Mm-hmm.
We have to put something ahead of it. And demagoguery is one of the things that they use. But this is really important. We're always selling out liberty. We have to start putting liberty and the tool of liberty, the Constitution, first and foremost in judging.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe we could come up with a nice little slogan like, give me liberty or give me death.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was buried a long time ago in our government schools.
Right, absolutely. Thank you for that. Really appreciate it. I'll follow that up with Klobuchar. I'm a winner who loves the people of America. That was her last statement. Gee, thank you. And world peace. I am Bloomberg. I'm not asking for any money. And I'm a manager that can beat President Trump. That's what he offers you,
Bravo.
Everybody.
Bravo.
He's not asking you for money. And Petey Boy, I'm a candidate who can build the largest coalition to defeat Trump.
Whoop.
Yeah. Warren, I'm from Oklahoma and grew up fighting in a family that struggled financially. I'm just like you. I'm so sick of hearing that. And now I want to fight for you. Right. Biden, I'm the only one who has enacted health care and defeated the National Rifle Association. Thanks. Thanks for both. Yuck.
I don't believe Elizabeth Warren's from Oklahoma.
The competition's getting scalped. Sanders, I'm the guy for universal health care and taxing the wealthy and real change. None of these people mentioned protecting your freedom. None of these people mentioned anything that has to do with anything for them being president or having the authority that the president's supposed to have in doing what the president does. It's amazing.
Actually, they didn't mention anything about anything, period.
I'm a winner who loves the people of America. Thank you. I'm not asking for money. I'm a manager that can beat President Trump. That's your closing statement. Wow. I've heard better speeches in the eighth grade. In the eighth grade president debate. My gosh.
In all fairness.
Yes.
They are actually only speaking to Democrats.
Okay, you got me there. See, I defeated the National Rifle Association to take away your Second Amendment. And then I've enacted health care, says Biden, to completely annihilate your freedom and offer you socialized medicine. Sweet. Anyway, and the crowd applauds. Perfect. Yes, it's hard to watch. That's why I can't watch it. I applaud you that you even could watch it. Because I can't anymore. I can't do it.
I think it's important. In case I ever get ill and decide to switch parties.
Yeah, if that ever happens, let me know. Yeah. And it's pretty strange, you guys. That was I don't even know. There wasn't an actual highlight in the highlight reel. Somebody asked me, you know, what are your thoughts on the debate? And I said, I don't think much thinking will happen. I don't think there are thoughts that are going to occur. It's like the land of the stupid people. Like you almost wonder how in the world they got to this position to stand on that stage.
Exactly.
If that's the if that's the best of the best, oh good heavens, we're in trouble. Yeah, I want my cavemen back if that's the case. Hey, we're gonna be right back with Chris Ann Hall. It's Thursday. Be right back. Don't go anywhere. Kate Daly Show.